Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Oh, it ended quickly, and I was eating. Yeah. Anyway, I looked up gruel this morning. It turns out that gruel is the thinner cousin of porridge, which I'm pretty sure I've never had either. Did orphans actually gruel? And the answer is, you bet they did. They contracted with the waterworks to lay on an unlimited supply of water and with a corn factory to supply periodically small amounts of corn. And they issued three meals of thin gruel every day with an onion twice a week. Onion. Yeah. And half a roll on Sundays. Now think about it. Three drinks of gruel, an onion twice a week, and a half a roll on Sundays. My God. Sounds like the Jets training camp meals. Anyway, it's Thursday night, and according to Mancini Media, it's time for Eat Me, the internationally recognized award-winning show with God knows how many Emmy nominations. No, Tom Cruise is not involved. Playing the part of Mr. Cruise tonight will be Eli, the Hoosier retired cop who's had countless medical procedures. We've got little Peggy from Florida and, of course, crazy Captain Jet. And all three of whom would have made great orphans. I'm just telling you up front. We've got the two Cindys, Montgomery and Baker, from the Home for the Aged and Infirm. And yours truly, the dealer of the desert, you've stumbled into a 60-minute show with no direction, no theme, and a bunch of old people. What do we know about food? Well, we've been eating since we were little babies, and so we know what we like. You're in the Eat Me Zone, and I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Raselvich.
And I'm Peg Palmer.
And I'm Captain Jet.
Hi, Captain. I'm Cindy Montgomery.
And I'm Cindy Baker.
There we go. Right. We have three people tonight from the old folks' home here in the desert, and that's I did not know that gruel was just a weak version of porridge. I thought porridge was already weak.
But what is it? Is it made out of like corn? Is it like creamed corn or something?
Well, no, grits.
Grits.
Kind of like grits.
Yeah. Yeah, during the Civil War, the soldiers ate most anything they could find.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's fiddling with apparently a robot?
Not me.
Uh-oh.
It's Cindy M.
Okay.
I'm trying to get my robot to bring me some water.
Oh. Well, there you are.
I have a house butler, and he does those things I tell him to, like bring me water, bring me food.
Yeah.
Get into the refrigerator.
Oh, you're set.
I know. I don't have to even get up. Wonderful.
Eli, we've missed you for the last couple of weeks. Tell us what horrible thing you've eaten recently.
Well, John, I landed out here in Bend, Oregon today. And,
why?
Visiting the divine Miss Racevich's eldest daughter.
Married
to her here. So we go into this little town where the airport is, and we want to eat. I want some Mexican. She's like, we have a really good Mexican restaurant. So I'm like, okay, go there. Well, I hate seafood, John. It's a seafood Mexican restaurant. So we had this octopus crap. It looked like they just threw them in a blender and you ate them with some queso.
Wow.
I was looking for like
yummy
eyes on sucker things, you know?
It sounds like
what
the food
it?
We get here.
Yeah,
pretty much.
What did it taste like? Yeah. What did it taste like? Yeah.
If I hadn't known it was octopus, it probably would have been okay because it had a lot of good stuff in it. It tasted okay. Mm. I couldn't get over the fact that it was an octopus.
Right. I don't like eating octopus. It just seems terrible. They're such intelligent
people. It's like a damn monster.
Well, yeah. It seems rubbery.
An octopus in a blender. That would have been fun to watch, though.
One might have. Did you eat the eye, Eli?
No, I did not eat the eye, Ray. I left it for one of the girls.
Yeah. You missed the best part. I mean, you know. You spoon that bad boy out. Well, that's great.
Ugh. My grandpa would eat cow and pig eyes.
I was just looking up weird things, and did you know they eat tuna eyes in the Philippines? And they are huge. Big eyes.
Tuna eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, tuna eyes, and they're a delicacy, evidently, of course. But they
had a picture. We have sea bass. We have sea bass here in the Northeast, and we eat them whole. You take them out, you gut them, and you cook them, and you fill them with all kinds of spices, and you eat them whole like that. You eat the eyes, the head, everything. It's great.
Oh,
nothing like
God.
It.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
it's
weird.
Great. It's
what does
delicious.
It taste like?
Oh. It's a delicacy because they eat nothing but the best in the ocean. Sea bass and blackfish eat nothing but the best.
Ah.
Well, they eat crab and clams and what you call it? Oysters. Blackfish. Blackfish eat lobster and crab. They taste just like lobster.
Oh wow. I might try that if it tasted like lobster.
Yeah, if you could get a hold of a blackfish, it's a delicacy. It's really, really good. It's like $22-$23 a pound.
Wow.
That's way over my budget.
No, but we go out and catch them. I catch them. Well,
right.
I go out in the ocean and catch them.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for it.
No.
You just have to cook it up.
Yep.
What do you think it would be like to fry a tarantula? They have fried tarantulas in Cambodia.
You have to cook them in an open flame to start with to get all the hair off of them. Then you cook them again, and then you fry them and eat them.
You have to
singe
the hairs off.
They're crispy.
Well, at what point does the tarantula get really pissed and jump on you and try to kill you?
It's probably when you stick the stake through his heart
I was
going to
say, when you poke him in
the
fire, I think that ends pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about breathing with an exoskeleton.
Yeah. I don't know. It
wiggles his head around. But it's,
hey, John?
It's a deep-fried snack.
Yes, sir.
Hey, John. Do you know when you cook a lobster? When you cook a lobster, you have to cook it live. You cook it in boiling water. Do you know when you put a lobster in boiling water, you can actually hear them scream.
I've heard that.
They scream. They scream. They literally scream.
They squeal.
That's horrible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
anymore.
No, that's just the air getting hot.
Well, they scream. But they're dead in a millisecond.
Right. I think I would be too if you dunked me in boiling water, I'd be dead real quick.
You'd scream too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But aren't you supposed to get their brain before you stick them in the boiling water?
No, you have to cook them live. Same with crabs. A lot of people cut the crabs in half because they don't like to put them in live. But the minute you cut that crab, it sends out a something in its blood, and the meat doesn't taste that good. But the minute you put a crab in boiling water, he'll turn red immediately, and they taste better.
and you've labeled this crab a he, and what about the female crabs?
You can't take female crabs. If you're caught with a female crab, it's $1,000 fine.
I did not know that.
The females get a break.
Really?
Yeah, it's not worth it. They do check in the New York Bight and the New York area and the New Jersey area. They check the boats. They come by and they check your boats. They check your pals. They come on board. They check inside your cabins. They look for everything. And if they catch a female crab in your boat, you're done. And it's $1,000 fine for every crab you got on board.
Wow.
Speaking of looking, how do we look and tell if it's a male or a female? Does it have heart?
Yes, the female crab has a fold over in the back. It folds over in the back. When they mate, it opens up. It opens up and that's how they mate. They mate back
Ray,
to back.
Ray, oh. you know too much about female crabs.
It's not pretty. But when they get on board, when you catch a female crab, let me tell you something. That flap closes tight. It closes tight. There's no way you can pry it open.
And do they have to sort through the crabs to find the females and then throw them back in the water? Is that how they?
Well,
they're
caught. Crabs when they're harvested, the crabs are harvested in 3x2 cages, and that cages are thrown into the water. They're like lobster traps, but different. They're different than a lobster trap. And when they pull them on board, they sort them before they get to the next trap. They open up the trap and they sort the females from the males. And then by the time they get to the next trap, they've already sorted them. You could sort 40 crabs in the time it takes to get to the next trap.
You know, I had a lecture at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, about penicillin will take care of those crabs, right?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I don't think so.
I think same thing.
Brown soap is the best thing for crabs.
I'm a big guy, but if I'm a crab, I'm going to identify as a female crab.
Okay.
Brown soap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you should eat the brown soap afterwards for getting them.
Probably.
That's your punishment.
That's right.
Okay. Here's something else I found. Okay. This one says it's a corker. This delicacy refers to the sperm sacs of either cod, anglerfish, or pufferfish. It's a weird-looking food, looking like white globs of goo or miniature brains. They are said to have a sweet custardy taste. Those who enjoy eating this unusual snack argue that Scirocco boasts a number of health benefits. doesn't say what the benefits are yet. Let me see here. Nope, just says they taste like sweet custard. They do look like brains. They look like little miniature brains.
Yeah.
That means your brains are in your ball sacks.
Well,
I think
it's always accused of that.
Well, if you're a cod, an anglerfish, or a puffer, you know.
Well, we catch what's called ling fish here. They're a part of the cod family, but the ling are very big. And when they come on board, when you bring them up from a depth, they explode out. You know, their eyes explode out, their stomach, and their egg sacs come out the rear end, rear part of the cod. And that's actually the roe. The roe is very, very good, and all you do is snip it off and throw it into a bucket. And then when you get it home, when you cook your fish, you cook the roe, you fry the roe. It's absolutely delicious. You put some butter and some lemon on it. It's great. Nothing like it.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
You're getting into so much detail, Ray. We may have to lock you down next week.
This is a cooking show.
Yeah, we should go visit and you can cook us up some.
That's true.
Yeah. The only problem is
X says, this show is like Smokey and the Bandit. Who is Burt Reynolds? I guess he called in a while back before all the
okay. Which but, one yeah. is Burt Reynolds? You know... No, we don't really have a Burt Reynolds, do we?
I don't know.
Not so much. Not so much. We've got the monkey, and of course Carl the Mime looks an awful lot like a younger Burt Reynolds. So we could that could work. Yeah. So there it is. 8:30 last night, and I'm on my mobility scooter going down to the marijuana dispensary, and thinking to myself, as someone was walking behind me in all this, I thought, you know, it sure is dark, and it makes you wonder, you know. How do handicapped people defend themselves? Eli, you're a former cop. What would you recommend for a disabled person in a scooter or a wheelchair? What should they have for defense?
Well, if you don't like firearms, I would suggest a true taser, not one of those, you know, Don's Guns electrical devices, but a true taser. Stacy has one. They're very effective. And civilian versions run for like 20 to 25 seconds, so it gives you ample time to leave as they're laying there writhing in pain.
Yeah.
Well, if you can go that quickly.
I was going to say. How many miles per hour does your scooter go, John?
Oh, well, it goes about 12 miles an hour. And,
you could make it to the dispensary where they have security.
Well, yeah, you know, the dispensary's got lots of security. I was amazed. And some of them are actually carrying weapons.
You might be able to get down to the Circle K.
Right. What I was going to say is you got to be careful coming out of the dispensary when you're loaded up with goodies, and somebody might mug you. On the way out, because you're
that's
you know,
true.
You're
yep. Yep.
But
brownies.
You know, somebody guarding a marijuana dispensary carrying a gun, just I don't know. Seems, you know, it's like what could possibly go wrong with this situation. And, you know, after taking a warning shot in my shoulder or something, I would be concerned. You know, I mean, these are not police officers. They are not. They're guys wearing the gray uniforms of some security firm, and well, it's Arizona. In Arizona, anybody can carry a gun. You do not have to have a permit unless you are concealing it.
Because this is the Wild Wild West out here.
That's the way it is in Arizona. You know, I mean, you can walk into a jewelry shop and a little lady helping you has a 45 on her hip. It's not that uncommon to see.
No, it's not. I used to carry one all the time.
Well,
and so I was trying to figure out possibly on a larger scooter, I'm thinking you could have a missile launcher.
Yeah. There you go.
No,
hey,
I don't think that's feasible.
You fire one across the bow and they'll leave you alone.
That's all you
need.
Yeah,
but the recoil will put you into next week.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah.
With a bigger scooter, you can go faster to get away because they do go a little faster than the smaller ones, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I
found a mobility scooter that can go 18 miles an hour.
Oh,
and so my bucket list goal is to take it up on the interstate. And I'll wear a helmet with maybe a marijuana sticker on it, and I'll just get on the interstate, go 18 miles an hour. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Well, to begin with, you'd be pulled over right away because you have to be able to go 30 to be on a freeway.
45.
You have to, that's the speed 45. Limit, 30?
Yes. That you 45. Have to be able to go.
Ooh, 45 in Indiana?
Yeah.
45 in Indiana. Oh.
They want to cause trouble in Indiana, John. Get on an interstate here and drive in the middle or left lane, because the law here now is if you're driving the speed limit, you have to vacate those lanes.
I can believe that.
Now I'm like, well, I don't have a speed, but if there's a law telling you to break it,
there you go.
Don't they have a lot of semi trucks on the highways in Indiana now too? Like
I-70, yeah, always.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we were sitting out in the courtyard of the old folks' home here. Smoking cigarettes and, you know, just sort of shooting the shit. And anyway, this lady walks up and I go, well, where are you from? Because she was moving her mother into the old folks' home. And she looked at me and she said, well, I'm from Indiana. And, of course, I immediately said, where in Indiana? And she said, you'll like this, Eli. She said, Hobart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I really had no comeback for that. I just looked at her and said, Hobart's not in Indiana. But other than that, you know, it's just part of Chicago. It's in the region. But what is Hobart known for, Eli? Anything?
Well, nothing good, John.
No.
Crime, narcotics.
You know, they don't even have semi-pro football up in Hobart, do they?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't even know.
I am aware of, and I did an encyclopedia of it, and I don't think Hobart made the cut. So I have no idea what. And she was as white as the snow, and I'm thinking to myself, I bet you don't go out on a mobility scooter to the dispensary at 8:30 at night. Not in Hobart, Indiana. Holy smokes.
In trouble.
You know,
I mean,
one of my favorite names in pro football is from Hobart, John.
Who's that?
Bob Kuchenberg.
Oh, I once interviewed him. And Bob is still mad that he was supposed to get a paycheck back in 1969, and they stiffed him out of his paycheck with the Chicago Owls that played at Soldier Field and averaged about 400 a game. Think about that. 400 a game in Soldier Field.
That's got to look like.
That's horrible. He said it was like BBs in a barrel. He said the rats down in the dressing rooms and tunnels, they were as big as, you know, Kias. And he said they were huge. And he goes,
one's here.
Yeah. And Cooch said, you know, damn it, they owe me $75. When am I going to get it? I said, Bob, you know, and this is like 30-some years later. I said, Bob, don't hold your breath anymore. It's kind of like when I worked in indoor football up in Duluth, and this guy is sitting there at the bar, and I looked at him and I said, this is 2000. And I go, don't you have a job? And he goes, no, I'm on strike. And I said, you're on strike? And he goes, yeah. From one of the shipping companies there on the Great Lakes. He was on strike, and he'd been on strike since Jimmy Carter was president.
Good
Lord.
Oh, he looks at me and he goes, goddamn Jimmy Carter. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, you've been on strike for 20 years sitting in a bar? Oh, I mean, he should have been a Jets fan. I'm just thinking, you know, 20 years. It was like an episode of Seinfeld. I don't know if you folks actually saw it. When Kramer had been on strike for like 20 years, and all of a sudden he got called back in to some, I don't know, bakery or whatever. Or cleaners, or yeah, I mean, this guy has been sitting at a bar for like 20 years, and I'm thinking, wow, the motivation of people in Superior, Wisconsin, huh? go figure. Jeez. Anyway, what'd you eat that was disturbing, Ray? Anything? Where'd Ray go? Okay. Ray's dead.
You can embalm him.
I don't hear any snoring.
Yeah, I don't either, but
yeah.
You know, with Ray dying on air.
Oh my god.
I'm pretty sure that will increase our listenership.
Oh yeah.
How many
did you see? Did you see the helmet he made, Eli?
Yes, sir.
That was impressive.
Oh, yeah.
You guys need to send us a picture of it.
Well, Captain Jet, he's a troubled individual. There's no doubt about it. Aaron Rodgers has temporarily saved his sanity, but he makes helmets for other Jets fans. And if you get a list of, you know, all the Jets fans, you know, after Bobby and Ed, the list ends. It's a very short list, I'm pretty sure. And yet, Crazy Ray has a 500-member fan club in Germany.
Wow.
I find that my brain cannot handle the thought of 500 people in Germany going, hey, let's worship Captain Jet.
Yeah.
And we'll go and see him, too.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a guy who's a retired undertaker who embalmed 16,000 bodies, and normally that would not shoot you to number one as far as, you know, popular mascots or anything. I don't understand it. But then again, things in New York City are different from the rest of the world.
That's true.
I heard that. That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I go to New York City, and there's this giant billboard, and it's for White Castle, and they're so proud that they're serving surf and turf, which is surf and turf at a White Castle consists of a burger and a fish fillet, all on the same little tiny bun.
Wow.
That's surf and turf. And I'm thinking, well, who came up with this idea? I mean, that sounds every bit as crazy as disabled people in a nursing home who are in wheelchairs doing a car wash. Oh, wait. We're going to have a car wash here. Yeah. I keep suggesting that we're going to make a lot of money from the sympathy drivers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the
revenue is. What?
I don't think it would work that way.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that we'd make hundreds and hundreds of dollars if we if we actually advertised it.
What do you guys think? Do you think he's here because he's feeble-minded?
No.
Something like that? I don't know.
Well,
God, I don't know.
How much do we have in our treasury?
Not enough.
$40. $40.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not much you can do on $40.
I know. That's right.
Well, you could start
that. If we do have the car wash, if we have that car wash and raise a bunch of money, I feel like if they do come to the car wash, we're going to be out there with the hoses, and they're going to be washing their own cars, and we'll just spray them down and clear the soap off.
I have no problem with that as long as they give us money.
Right. There you go.
Well,
it's really hot there, isn't it, now? So
yeah, we can do it right now. Yeah,
this weekend it's supposed to get up to 116 to 118 this weekend.
But, you know, the crazy thing about that is it's been getting that hot here for years. And they all of a sudden they're calling it a heat advisory. They never did that before, but all of a sudden they changed their protocol and what fits in their little boxes they check off. And so now all of a sudden it's a heat advisory, and we better be super careful. And, you know, if you weren't careful before, you died from it, and you're going to die from it now too. So it just seems to me like they're – and then when they say 110, we're having a cooling trend next week, it's going to get down to 110.
Yeah.
It's not a cooling trend.
I'm surprised how hot it is in Oregon.
Yeah, that's turning the
it's
oven
down. It's going to be 107 here.
Oh, my goodness.
No way. In Oregon?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Oh.
That's because we've been sending the heat.
Yes. Dissipating.
Well,
it's coming. Yeah.
Bad things are happening in Hawaii, and we're going to have a Hawaiian day here at the Home for the Aged and Infirm. We're going to have a Hawaiian day, and so I suggested we have Spam. Got to have Spam.
Well, yeah, Hawaii, you bet.
You bet. Spam and pineapple, that's what those islanders live on. Boy, I'm telling you, have you seen the pictures there in Oahu?
Yeah. Crazy.
Oh, my God. And the death toll is up to 56? Yeah. Death toll is up to 56, and people are jumping into the ocean to try to save themselves.
I did hear about that. Yeah, it's terrible. Oh.
Now,
and they're probably not used to fires like that over there. They don't think they get very many wildfires.
Probably. Now, one of my questions is, are there sharks off the island? Because, you know, jumping into the ocean to save yourself is not necessarily going to work if there's a pack of sharks there.
Yeah.
About right.
I mean, talk about, you know, from the frying pan into the fire, geez.
Yeah, for sure.
You avoid the fire and get eaten by a shark.
Or you get toasted for them.
Yeah.
Or you get toasted. And then the sharks want you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shark wants you well done.
Barbecue. I like mine well done. Here's a medium.
Hey, John, we're up to 288 listeners, bud.
How many?
280.
288?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, those people need to tell their friends and their in-laws to tune in because... 288, that's a nice number, but 350 is a nicer number.
I challenge every one of you to get someone else to listen.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you don't, you have octopus.
Well, and they'll go to hell, I'm pretty sure. No,
they'll go to shark hell.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, As a former preacher, I can speak for God in this situation, and yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to go to hell. Why?
Can you imagine if the shark?
It makes sense to me.
Oh, that's all that matters.
I used to tell my little Head Start kids, you eat broccoli and you'll go to hell because that's the devil's food. You know, we don't eat broccoli and Head Start. Hell no.
Yeah. No.
Here, have some candy. Because there's nothing
right.
A four-year-old needs more of than candy.
Well, that's true. Oh, that's true. It gets them
motivated. It gets them moving.
Not for sure.
Yeah,
not sure.
Granted, they're not going to take a nap in the afternoon, but, you know, odds are I wasn't going to let them have a nap anyway. So it just all worked out perfectly. We didn't eat broccoli. We ate candy. They didn't take a nap. And I gleefully handed them back to their parents.
Our listeners must be hard at work, John. We're up to 310 already since we challenged them.
Oh, that's
wow.
good. That's good. Well, I love it.
Thank you. Thank everybody.
Two of them aren't going to hell.
That's true. Couple of them are at least going to hang out in purgatory for a while. And I wonder what they serve food-wise in purgatory.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Mm.
Well, since Twinkies are the best food in the world, they don't serve Twinkies, I'm guessing.
Oh, deep-fried Twinkies?
Any kind of Twinkie, John.
Yeah. Because Twinkies last forever, so you know that they're going to be in hell, too.
Well, that's true. It's kind of like spam.
My lunch.
Exactly.
You find it at the dented jam.
Dented jam. Never expires.
Jam on a Twinkie.
Steve,
says
this is turning into the ladies' lounge, better than any happy hour. And that brought us up to 310 listeners. So go, Steve. We'll entertain you.
We're 40 short of where I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are we going to do like purgatory if we get close?
We're going to... I don't know. Maybe this should be like a Jerry Lewis telethon. You know, we could go to the big board and come on, people. We want listeners because, well, in all honesty, we're vain people. We are extremely vain people.
We deserve.
And we want to go to breakfast tomorrow morning here at the Home for the Aged and Infirm
and
tell everybody how many listeners we had.
Right. It's the best thing that happens. It will be the most awesome thing to talk about. How many
That's right.
tonight. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or how many times the Sun City Fire and Rescue Squad will come over and try to revive someone.
We should keep a tally on that. We could probably
tell
every week how many times they've come over.
I've noticed that they come just about once a day.
Yeah, at least.
Well, they
come like
very early as well.
Yeah. I mean, we had one this afternoon, and that's really pretty normal. No, we should count the firemen as residents. Maybe we could get more money.
Firemen, well, I think we should get some firemen to do the car wash, and then we could just be out there talking to the people that come up, keeping them busy while the firemen do all the washing.
We could
the
just
cars.
Be. We could be drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm. And serving coffee.
And eating pastries while
eating
the firemen do all the work. Do you realize how many people we would get if firemen washed the cars?
And that's what I'm saying. That's it right there.
Oh, my
there.
God.
And we could also have the police come over because they like to eat. Well, and police like to eat donuts. And so if we had the police here, they could also watch the money so that nobody steals our money because we are feeble-minded and we could forget where we put the money. So we'd have to have the police here to watch over that.
Yeah, that's true. We're old and firm.
Right. And if they, you know, if they want to, they can help wash some cars too. So, yeah.
Well,
322,
like
John.
But then
what?
You have
How
to
many?
322.
322.
Woo!
We're 28 away. We're 28 away from the magic 350.
Maybe
and
we need to do like PBS and offer some incentives, like a free date with Peggy at the nude beach for the 350th caller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you've never been to Sarasota, well, Peggy will show you a good time.
Yes, you will.
Any octopus.
You're gonna make some lucky guy a whole bunch of hot dish and other famous Minnesota recipes. And
what do you mean some guy? What if a female wants to come visit Peggy? Have a girls' night out.
Yeah, Peggy.
Yeah.
Keep an open mind.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
No, you're not.
No.
Oh, boy. Well, you
yeah,
would.
It's, yeah, I've got.
Okay.
But we could. Yeah, we need 350. That's what we need. That's our magic number.
Raise out looking for callers.
We've got
Raise out looking for callers. Ray's going from payphone to payphone.
Door to door. A fabulous
Don,
offer.
You can take those guns that you're hiding, that you're concealing, and go, you know, stick people up and say, turn on the blog, turn on the channel.
That's right.
Or use your taser and zap them a couple times to get them to log in. Did you guys hear about the
taser and then take off and make sure that it's on this channel before you take off?
They might try to follow you.
They might.
Well, I might run over
Okay. What were we being asked if we had heard?
Did you guys hear about the car that drove through the dialysis unit down in the Sunny Slope area of Phoenix? The car drove right through the glass front windows of this dialysis unit, and it crashed into the machines. And, you know, people are hooked up and their blood's flowing through the machines, and the place is just torn to bits. And I don't think there was any injuries or casualties, but I used to dialyze out of that unit down there. So when I saw the pictures of it, I just went, oh, my God, I could have been down there. And it was crazy, crazy. The walls were just all laying on the floor, and the car was still, like, you know, parked in there, and there's firemen and
that's
cops everywhere.
That's the kind of thing that happens to Eli, though, all the time.
Oh, really?
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Every week.
That's it.
I mean, it's...
You're a lucky guy.
Hawaii death toll is at 53.
I saw 58. Besides what it's doing to the beauty of nature over there, but nature does that.
Yeah. Well,
rebuild.
Well, they'll rebuild, and you know, again, it comes down to spam. Red Cross has to show up there, or FEMA with a whole bunch of cans of spam.
Do you think they have spam left over from, like, the World War that, I think, was it two or one? I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
Stashed in those little
fires?
Like, whatever they're in the forest, they had these giant, like, you know, places, storage places for military stuff. So I just
I'm pretty sure.
Spam.
Well, spam grows on trees, I'm pretty sure. And it's what is referred to as low fruit. You can get a can of spam just by walking through the orchard. I don't know. I'm going to go to the dented can and get dented spam, which is even more of a delicacy.
I was going to say it's probably more expensive.
Oh, I don't know, but... People at the council meeting, they were saying, okay, if you're getting spam, get the real McCoy. Don't be getting, you know, low-fat spam or turkey spam or, you know, I mean, do it right. Get the original spam. Would that cook in the sun? Could we actually put it on a pan and cook it poolside?
Yeah,
well,
it's
possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Eli would try it, so.
Well, Eli would try almost anything.
Well, true. Like, you can fry an egg on a car hood out here, so. And probably
that's
on the
right.
Yeah. So,
so
you can fry an egg. You might have to slice it thin so it'll fry up nicely, but.
Yeah.
Probably not necessarily. You just get a nice, good pan that's going to reflect the heat, and then put the spam in there and just listen to it sizzle.
Yeah. And I'm sure it would out here.
I'm going to try to cook spam tomorrow, it being 116 to 118. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it tomorrow on the sidewalk in a pan, but on the sidewalk, and see if I can cook spam here at the old folks' home.
And don't forget to video record that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Everybody who's anybody is going to want to see that.
They're going to want to cook spam outside, yeah.
Definitely.
I agree.
If they don't cook it themselves, they're going to want to see it being cooked, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be careful they don't use it on us.
What?
Wait
a minute. We've got people here at the old folks' home that would eat almost anything.
I know.
And I'm sure we could put a platter of spam out on a table.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, bunch of people.
Just cube it and stick a toothpick in it. Then it'll be fancy, John. Then they'll eat it up.
And then put a pineapple.
Oh,
yeah. Pineapple with it. Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah, you got to do the pineapple, yes.
Yeah.
346, John.
Oh, we're
man.
So close.
Wow.
You know, we are
you know what?
So close.
Hey, John.
Ray must have rounded him up.
Oh, good. Captain's back.
Hey, John, you know why he put pineapple on stuff?
Why?
Why?
To kill the taste.
Oh.
You want to
kill the taste.
Yeah, you put pineapple on it to kill the taste.
Yeah, of what? Spam?
Of everything. Anything. Anything they put pineapple on is to kill the taste.
Oh, okay. you're sticking to it.
If you ever go to somebody's house where they offer you the worst meat in the world you wouldn't eat in a million years, and they say, like, try weasel, try squirrel. It tastes just like chicken. Well, then give me some chicken, you know?
And invariably they put pineapple on it, right?
Yeah, then you put pineapple on it, that's all. Pineapple kills it. If you're a lousy cook, just put pineapple on everything. It'll get you through a marriage career forever.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So
you always put pineapple, but make sure you put like one or two cherries with the pineapple, and that, you know, it sweetens it up. You could put that on weasel legs, and it would make it taste great.
Ooh,
weasel legs.
And that's I think that our 344 listeners. I think they've learned something tonight, and that is that if you're going to serve weasel, for the love of God, put pineapple on it.
With the cherries on top.
Did we learn anything else?
You got to cook the cherries with it, though, because the cherries, they shrivel up and everything else. You know, you got to cook the cherries with them. And the taste of the cherry and the pineapple goes into whatever you're cooking. You know, you could cook dog leg, and it would taste great with the pineapple and cherry.
What am I cooking, Ray?
Dog legs. You could cook dog legs, and it would taste great.
Why don't you put the pineapple and the cherry on top, and you cooked it with it?
Yeah.
No,
it was
dog
legs. Huh. Well,
you'll need to chase your.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around dog legs.
kind of like frog legs, John, but dog legs.
Dog legs are a delicacy. Dog legs are a delicacy in Korea. They love dog down there.
Well,
okey-dokey.
John, we did it.
They can go after John
it?
When you...
We did it, 352.
Yes.
We did what?
352.
Oh, my God.
352 minutes to go.
Wow.
How much time do we have, Miss Peggy?
4 minutes.
4 whole minutes, and we're at 352. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering how to get to the Facebook page that you guys have. What would I go under to look that up?
Wait a minute. What are we talking? The Mancini Facebook page or the Eat Me?
The Eat Me one, I guess.
Okay, that's on Facebook. Hold on. I will bring it up. Eat me. Okay. Just type in under the search, eat me, and it will come up.
All Mark has to do is put her name in, and it'll automatically come to her.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I'll just ask.
If Mark puts her in the circle, it'll automatically come because after the show we all get it. We all get the show.
Yeah, we all get the show. But Eat Me, the cover picture is of an Indiana pork tenderloin that is bigger than the plate it sits on.
Okay, good to know.
Yes. And,
I was going to say, next time you're going to have to ask Cindy what is the strangest thing she's ever eaten because she hasn't got to answer that question yet.
No, that's true. And yet I'm looking at a picture from our Facebook page where Oscar Mayer actually produced pumpkin bologna.
Ooh.
Okay.
Really?
Tell me about this. There's an Eat Me podcast group.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eat Me blog. Eat
we
me.
Have followers.
Pumpkin spice bologna.
No.
Wow.
I would eat that at Halloween.
You would eat that?
At Halloween, yeah.
Oh,
he'd eat anything. What are you kidding? He'd eat dog legs.
I know. I've heard that. Would he eat tuna eyes?
Possibly. I would thing on a dare.
You probably would eat a tuna eye. They're big, though. It'd probably take about 4 or 5 bites to finish one of those off.
Well, we've only got about a minute left.
Right. And we have one more caller, Galen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, says, educating Cindy live. I like this. Ha ha.
There you go.
So,
well, until next Thursday, we get to do this all over again next Thursday. But we want we want even more listeners. God yeah. only knows where we ended with, but we wish everyone a good week and, of course, eat really crappy food.
Absolutely.
Until
yeah.
next Thursday night, I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Raiselrich.
And I'm Peg Palmer.
And I'm Ray the Undertaker.
I'm Ray.
And Cindy's?